Let's pray together as we come to look at the word of the Lord this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that we can gather freely this morning as your family here, Lord, to hear you speak to us. Thank you, Lord, that you are the Lord of truth. And Lord, we desire to hear your truth this morning, that your word might shape us and mould us to be more like your Son, the Lord Jesus. And so, Holy Spirit, we would just welcome you amongst us. Lord, we know that you are here because you are everywhere. But, Lord, make us particularly conscious of your presence amongst us as we hear you speak to us this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Good. Okay, well, I want to start this morning by asking you a question. And the question is this. What could you not live without? What could you not live without? I don't mean just physical things. I don't just mean like oxygen and water. We all know that we physically could not survive without oxygen and water. But what in your life could you not live without? I just want you to ponder that, and we'll come back to that question a little bit later on in this morning's message. So just have a think about that yourself. What could you, or what do you think you could not live without? We're going to carry on our series this morning, which is Music to Our Ears. We're a few messages into this series, and it's a look through the book of the Psalms. Obviously not everyone, but we're picking up on different Psalms and seeing what the Lord has to say to us from them. And this morning, as Brenda read to us from Psalm 62, we're going to have a look at this psalm for a few moments this morning. And this psalm is categorized as a trust psalm, a declaration of trust in God. It's quite hard today to trust in anything. People are reluctant to put their trust in anything, reluctant to commit perhaps to anything. But David, in this psalm, affirms that there is one who is wholly trustworthy, one who we can put our trust in, that being God himself. He affirms that God is all-powerful, that he is a rock, like Brenda was sharing with us earlier. He is the solid rock. He is a fortress, wholly dependable. And throughout this psalm, Psalm 62, David contrasts the certainty of God with the uncertainty of this world. The certainty of God on one hand, with the uncertainty of this world on the other. The security found in God is contrasted with the complete lack of security found anywhere else in this world. God is spoken of as the source of hope, as the way of salvation and life. And in contrast, the uncertainty and lack of security in the world, well, that's described as a vapor. A bit like your kettle, which you probably boiled this morning to make yourself a cup of tea or coffee, and you see that vapor rising from the kettle, and you pour the water into your cup, and you see the vapor, but within a matter of moments, that vapor's vanished. You can't see it any longer. It's gone. That is how David describes the things of this world. There's no certainty in them. They're here today, gone tomorrow, like a vapor. This temporary nature, this uncertainty, this lack of security in anything in this world is spoken of by David in Psalm 62, but also in other parts of the scripture. So in the book of Ecclesiastes, the writer who's writing the book, he says this: meaningless, meaningless, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. Not a particularly encouraging word to hear this morning. But the teacher really, as he's saying this in Ecclesiastes, he's not saying that everything has no meaning, but rather there's this sense of emptiness. Ultimately, everything lacks substance. There is no certainty to anything. It is but a breath or a vapor. It's here and then it's gone. Everything in the world is a bit like that. It cannot be relied on. And yet David has this word nevertheless, as he speaks of God who is quite different to that. God who is wholly certain, wholly reliable, and wholly trustworthy. And throughout this psalm, that is the contrast, really. David speaks of God in one paragraph and the certainty of God. And then he moves on and speaks of the uncertainty of the world. And then he goes back to God and he speaks of the certainty of God again. And then he goes back and speaks of the uncertainty of this world. So the first section we're going to just briefly look at is the security that we can find in God, or you could say the certainty that exists in God. And it's particularly mentioned by David in verses 1 and 2 of this psalm. Here's a question for you. How do you feel about the pace of your life? Perhaps you feel that your life is accelerating faster and faster and you simply can't stop it. Perhaps you feel that the demands that are upon you from various different angles, the demands of your time are pulling you this way, pulling you that way. There's not much space to stop and think. Or maybe you're older in years, maybe you're retired and you do have some time on your hands, but you're conscious that that time, like for all of us, is like that sand in the timer that's ticking away, that's dropping through, the time that cannot be retrieved, the time that cannot be stopped. And sometimes there's a need for us to stop and not be pulled this way or that way, to reflect and to ask ourselves some important questions. Questions like this: where do I find true life? Where do I find rest and peace? If all this in the world is temporary, then what are we even living for? Well, David starts this psalm, Psalm 62, by stopping and by taking stock, by thinking, by coming before God and recognising it's only in God that there's true rest, true peace, true satisfaction. So David starts by saying this: truly, my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. Or even a more literal translation of the original text would be that my heart waits silently for God. My heart waits silently for God. You know, we realise that God alone is the only security, the only certainty that we can have. What can we do but come before him and wait for him, wait silently before him, wait upon him, to allow the things of this world that so often actually grab our attention, the things that often distract us from God, the person who alone in whom we can find rest and peace and satisfaction. Augustine, the early Christian theologian, said this. He said that thou hast made us for thyself, O God, and our heart is restless until it finds its rest in thee. How true is that, that our hearts are restless, looking for rest and peace and security, and yet so often looking in the wrong places, looking in the temporary, in the things of this world, and yet our hearts continue to be restless because there's nothing in this world that can provide the rest and the peace that we were created for. Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in God, our Creator and our Lord. And we see that everywhere as we look around us, people looking for the next thing that they hope might provide satisfaction or peace or rest. Nothing satisfies. It is but a vapour here today and gone tomorrow. Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in God. And that is what David affirms in this psalm. That's the very thing he says. Truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. Truly he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. And this word truly that David uses, or it could be nevertheless or certainly, it has that sense of faith. You could only really say that if you knew it to be true, if your faith is in God alone. Truly my soul finds rest in God alone. And the question for us is, do we know that? Do we know that it's only in God that we're going to find rest and peace and security and satisfaction? Not just know it as a piece of information, but know it in our hearts. Know it, experience that reality, that it's only in the Lord that we find true peace and rest. Well, here is a question that arises out of that which I've just been saying. How do we get to that place of resting in him? How do we get to that place of knowing his rest, his security, the peace of the Lord? Well, as David starts his psalm, he starts by saying, "My heart waits silently for God." And we might think, or we might come to the conclusion, that to get to that place of peace and rest, we just need to get rid of the busyness from our lives, perhaps just sit in a quiet room and just search ourselves. And at some point, we might get to that place of peace or rest. In other words, like much New Age philosophy, the answer's somewhere within. If only we can find that space to rest and think and reflect. Well, that's not what David says. David says something quite the opposite. David doesn't advocate an emptying of oneself to reach that place of rest and peace, but rather a filling of oneself with the knowledge of who God is. David finds rest in God alone through knowing who God is. Verse 1, God is my salvation. He is my rock. He is my fortress. David allows his heart, his mind, to be filled with the truth and the reality of who God is, that God is his saviour. God is his rest. God is his peace. Where are you looking for peace and rest and security? Because if we look to anything other than the Lord Jesus, then it's only a matter of time before that false sense of security is completely blown out of the water, gone like a vapour, gone. We must know the Saviour, Jesus. Only in him is there security. Only in him is there the certainty that we're standing on solid ground. Out of that rises another question. What is our biggest need? A bit like that question that I asked you at the beginning. What could you not live without? Or what is our biggest need? What could you not do without? And the underlying question to all of those things, which is tied in with what David is saying, is where is your security? Where is your security and peace? And Jesus tells us a story in the New Testament that helps us a little bit understand this matter. So in Mark 2, and you may well know this story, you may not, but in Mark 2, Jesus tells us this story of a paralyzed man. And this is a guy who can't walk. He's on a mat and he's being carried by four friends. And he's brought to this house by his four friends so that he can see Jesus. Only when the four friends get to the house with this friend of theirs on the mat, they can't go in because the house is so full of people that there's no way that they can get their friend into the house to see Jesus. And so they come up with the idea, a bit crazy it sounds, to get this guy onto the roof. And Mark tells us that they dig a hole in the roof and they lower this guy on a mat before Jesus. Why do they bring this guy to Jesus? And as we read it, we think, well, obviously, physical healing. This guy can't walk. That is surely his biggest need. That is the thing which he needs most. He needs to be able to walk. Surely that is his biggest need. And yet, Jesus' initial words to him surprise us, because Jesus says to him, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Why does Jesus say that to this guy who's being lowered down before him? Well, here's the thing. We perceive that this guy's biggest need is the fact that he can't walk. We think that is his biggest need. And yet this guy's biggest need, the thing that he needs most of all, is to know Jesus, to know his forgiveness, to know his grace, to know his rescue from sin, to know new life, to know eternal life. Being forgiven and saved is what this guy needs most of all. Not the ability to walk, as important as that is not his biggest need. His biggest need is to know Jesus. That is his biggest need. What is our biggest need? Well, the same is true of us. Our biggest need is Jesus, to know his grace and his mercy, to know his rescue, to know his presence in our lives. That is our biggest need. This is where we and anybody can find true peace and true security in knowing Jesus. Often we think our biggest need perhaps is physical healing, or our biggest need is to sort out our financial issues, or our biggest need is to sort out our career, or it could be any number of things that we could list. But none of those things are our biggest need. Our biggest need is to know Christ and to know his salvation. Only in knowing Jesus is there true rest and peace and security. And this is what David is saying throughout Psalm 62. Only in God, only in Jesus will we find rest and security. Not in the things of this world, not in the temporary, but salvation only found in him. But sadly, how often, and we're all guilty of this, we get distracted. We end up looking for security and peace and rest in things other than God. We must come back to the Lord, knowing that only in him is rest. Jesus himself said this, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you know the Lord this morning, then be encouraged. Be reminded that our rest and our peace is found in him, no matter what comes our way in this life, no matter what struggles we face. Our peace is found in the Lord Jesus, who is a solid rock, who can never be shaken, who can never change. He is wholly dependable. Our hope is in him. And if you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord, let me encourage you, which you probably know deep down already, that there's no peace or satisfaction in the things of this world. You can travel the world, you can look for it all over the place, but you won't find it, because everything in this world is but a vapour, here today and gone tomorrow. Only in the Lord, only in knowing Christ, is our true security. That's the first thing that David says in Psalm 62. The second thing is the contrast in reality. If security is found in God, then in this world is insecurity, the insecurity of this world. And David contrasts both of these things. And so in the second section of the psalm, particularly verses 3 and 4 and 9 and 10, David highlights this instability of the world, this lack of security found anywhere other than God. And a couple of things that he highlights. Firstly, the unpredictability or the lack of reliability of fellow man. Have you found that to be true through your life, that people will let you down or that you will let others down? That is a fact or a reality. You know, it's great having good family and friends. It's great to have loving, supporting people around us. We need that, and we praise God for them, for good friends and for good family. But we cannot build our life on others. We cannot primarily find our security or our rest or our peace in others. And David knows that. And David, as he's writing this, is under some kind of attack. And so he says in verse 3, how long will you assault me? Would all of you throw me down this leaning wall, this tottering fence? And he goes on to say, they take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse. David, he is acutely aware of the lack of security found in his fellow man. They're out to get him. There's no sense of security there. And then David goes on in verses 9 and 10, he says, all men are but a breath, a vapour, here and then gone. Something which James affirms in the New Testament. James says this in his book. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Just affirming the temporary nature of man. And not only will humans or our fellow man let us down, that is a reality, but David goes on to say that the material things that we have ultimately have no value in them. They're not lasting. There's no eternal security in the material world. No lasting eternal security. No rest found in them. Because as we know, security cannot be found there. Though your riches increase, says David, do not set your heart on them. The security is not found there, again, but a vapour, here today, gone tomorrow. And ultimately it comes down to this question: what then is your foundation? What are you building on? What is your life rooted in? Does our existence have the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the foundation of his salvation and rescue from sin? Is our security rooted in his unchanging nature, in his holy, reliable word? Or is it on the temporary? Is it on the fading? Is it on the things which are but a vapour? Praise God for his many blessings, and we definitely do that. Praise him for great friends and family. Praise him for jobs. Praise him for money even. That is a blessing too. Praise him for holidays. Praise him for all of these great things. But you know, our security is not found in them. Our security can only be found in Jesus. And again, as part of Jesus' teachings in the New Testament, we read something which again helps us understand this. What is our foundation? What are we building on? And so Jesus says this, and I'll read it to you from Luke's Gospel. Again, you most probably know this, or maybe you don't, but hear this story again. Jesus says, "As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They're like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent shook that house but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without any foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete." Its destruction was complete. You know, you think you're secure. You think you're doing well in life. You think things are going well. But then that rug is pulled out from underneath our feet. Perhaps your health goes. Perhaps your money dries up. Perhaps you lose your job. Perhaps something even worse happens. Perhaps your husband or your wife leaves you. Perhaps you retire and the whole of your life that you've invested in your career, well, you realise that's over. That is gone. What are we looking to? What are we building our life on? Christ is the only one who is eternal, who stands, who we can build our life on. He is the certainty that we can be rooted in. And that's what that parable tells us. That's what Jesus is saying. You build on sand. You build your life on the temporary. It's only a matter of time before everything collapses. You know, you might even get to the end of this life without tumbling too much. But then when you get to the end, you'll find that everything falls if it's not rooted and built on the Lord Jesus. Build on the rock is what Jesus is saying. Build on the rock is what David is saying in Psalm 62. In Christ alone, our hope is found. And you know, speaking of that parable that Jesus tells, one commentator says this there on the screen: "As sad as it is to lose one's home in a flood, it is sadder still for one's life to be swept away because the call and advice of God was ignored." What's the advice of God? Perhaps not the best word, but what is it? Trust in Jesus. Look to him, because he alone is our salvation. He alone is our fortress, on whom we will never be shaken. It's exactly what David is saying. And just in finishing now, just a couple more things I want to mention from this psalm. If that's what David is saying, that security is in God and there is none anywhere else, then how do we respond to this? Well, David helps us to understand how we might respond to this. David speaks of pouring out your heart, pouring out your heart. David says in verse 8, "Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge." If you read this psalm at home another time, or if you've got a Bible open now, you'll see in that first bit, David really is speaking to himself. He's speaking about his soul, and he's talking to himself, telling himself that it's in God alone that he will find rest, and he will find peace. But in this verse in the middle of the psalm, he's now speaking to others. He's telling others, find rest in God alone. Trust in him, you people, says David. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. He's our refuge. Trust him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. And David is telling others, he's proclaiming to others to put their trust in God. You know, David has experienced firsthand, and this is what he's saying in this psalm, he has experienced firsthand the instability of this world, the lack of security in this world. And he's found the security and the salvation that is found only in God. And now he's telling others, look, I know this is true. Put your trust in God, because everything else is but a breath. It is but a vapor. Trust in him. Here's a challenge for you. Who can you encourage this week to trust in God, to put their hope in him? Perhaps you know somebody who's going through a difficult or challenging time. Remember, their biggest need isn't for their problems to be sorted, but that they would trust in God and know his sovereignty and his lordship over their lives. Who can you come alongside this week and speak that word of encouragement, to trust in the one who is wholly dependable? And not only does David tell people to trust in God, but to pour out their hearts to God. What on earth does that mean, pour out your heart to God? Well, it means this sense of expressing your true self in openness and vulnerability before God. You know, if we're going to find rest and peace in God, then we have to come openly and honestly before him. We have to come with our disappointments, with perhaps our regrets, with our questions, with our struggles, with our anxieties. We have to come perhaps in repentance, knowing that actually we've often trusted in something other than God. We have to come openly and honestly before him. David says, pour out your heart to God. And there's plenty of examples of this in the Bible. Just a couple of quick ones. Hannah, you might not be able to see that. I was told off by Phil beforehand that the print is too small. So accept my apology if you can't see it. Hannah in the Old Testament, I'll read this very quickly for you. As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, how long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine. Not so, my Lord, Hannah replied. I'm a woman who is deeply troubled. I've not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I've been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. Hannah pouring out her heart to God, coming before God in honesty, knowing that it's only in God that there is security and rest and peace. And the psalmist in Psalm 42, these things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, were you so downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope or your trust in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. The psalmist is saying, come honestly before God. But then he gets to that point of saying, put your hope in God. Trust in him. There is nothing else that's going to give you peace and satisfaction and a knowledge of life. And perhaps the most graphic example of pouring out one's heart to God is the Lord Jesus himself in the Garden of Gethsemane. Knowing what he was about to face, knowing that he was about to endure the cross, that he was going to face what was the almost unbearable. Humanly speaking, Jesus asks the Father, take this away from me. I'm not sure I can do this. Take this away. And yet he gets to that place of knowing that it's only in the will and the purpose of the Father that there is great blessing. And he prays, not my will, but yours be done. And we need to come honestly before God, honestly about our weaknesses, honestly about our sin, honestly in repentance, honestly in confessing our need of him, and in reality that we've looked often to other things rather than to the Lord himself. And we need to recognise that before him and come before him. Back to that question that I asked you at the very beginning. What is it you could not live without? What could you not live without? What is it do you think you could not live without? Does that thing or that person have the danger of being the thing that we look to for security and peace and rest? Have we made something actually more important than God himself? Only God can give us the peace and rest, not another person, not a job, not a career, not money, nothing else. Only the Lord himself. Our biggest need is Jesus. Build your life on him. Find your security in him. And then and only then are we free to enjoy the blessings that God gives us. The blessing of friends and family. The blessing of relationships. The blessing of work. The blessing of money. The many blessings. But only if we primarily and firstly find our rest and peace in the Lord Jesus himself. Let's pray together. Truly, Lord, our soul finds rest in you. Our salvation comes from you. Truly, you are our rock and our salvation. You are our fortress, and we will never be shaken. Lord, we pray those words. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us to look to you, to know that in you alone is peace and rest and security for this life and for eternity. Lord, we recognise that in reality, each and every one of us has looked to other things for security and for peace and for a sense of meaning and fulfilment. And yet, Lord, the reality is that only in knowing you, Jesus, as our Saviour, as our rescuer from sin, only in knowing you is there true peace and security. And so, Lord, my prayer for myself and for my friends here would be, Lord, that we would have a deeper knowledge, Lord, of how much we need you. Every day, every moment, how we need you. You are our biggest need, to know you, to know your grace and your mercy. Lord, if there is any here this morning who don't know that, Lord, we would pray that by your Spirit you would show them their need of you. Open eyes, we pray, in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you that you are the solid rock on which we stand. Our confidence is in you. You are our fortress, and we can never be shaken. Thank you, Lord. Amen.